Good morning. It is great to see each of you. Welcome again to everybody online, to any visitors who are joining us today. May we all experience God's grace today. Our purpose now is for God to keep on equipping us with God's tools for reconciliation. We all have or will have the need for reconciliation. This is part of being human in this world. We need these skills. And reconciliation is important here in particular because it is one of the ways that God brings God's justice through the church, who God has called and is equipping as ambassadors. So God, we invite you to show us your living and active word today. I have a relationship that is broken, that I am seeking to heal. Don't raise your hands on this one if you're with me on this. I know that several of you are. Several of you know the piercing pain of a damaged relationship. And some of us are reeling because of the reconciliations needed now in our world: class, gender, race, creation, to name a few. We need reconciliation because violence, we know this, only gets more violence. Reconciliation at its very best looks like Jesus. Now, I've been part of many reconciliations because this is the stuff of life. We all have misunderstandings and disagreements. And God calls us to work these out because God wants what's best for us and the world. So if it's okay with you, I thought we would try to have some fun with this as we seek to discover some of God's tools in our toolbox. Reconciliation got me thinking about fruit salad. I love fruit salad. It's healthy, it's delicious, even the colors are so beautiful. All the uniqueness about each different fruit. Except, you know how if you go to a restaurant and you order fruit salad, there's always one ingredient that it has. You know already, don't you? What is it? It's the cantaloupe. Does somebody know the problem with cantaloupe and fruit salad? I was traveling recently and I wanted to eat something that was light and healthy, and so I picked up a little cup of fruit salad. It cost me at least $8. Apparently, I'm still bitter about it and I need to do some reconciliation. And I go to eat my tiny little cup of fruit salad and I experience the cantaloupe dilemma. Maybe you like cantaloupe and you don't have this problem. What I notice is the church is not meant to be like the cantaloupe. When I open up the fruit salad and I eat a grape, it tastes like cantaloupe. I try a strawberry. Oh, it tastes like cantaloupe too. A kiwi is meant to taste like kiwi, not cantaloupe. You see where this is going. We know that God made the church like a team, like a fruit salad, diverse. The challenge is, I just forget that the purpose of our uniqueness is to strengthen the body, not to overpower it. On the flip side of overpowering, like the cantaloupe, Anabaptists have a lot of Enneagram 9s, that's the peacemaker, whose preferred way of making peace has been avoiding it. We know as Anabaptists we are supposed to live as peacemakers, but we don't realize we have options besides just bottling it up, and someday it's going to come bursting out when we're at McDonald's and they don't have any more pickles for our sandwich. Mennonites have been called out for spouting a particular theology and having institutions like the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding, and yet when we have our differences, we get quiet and we put our heads down. Now, hear me, these ideas are circumstantial. Sometimes it is the right thing to do to be quiet and put our heads down. Like, if we have differences about how you load the dishwasher, like, I hope we can let those go, right? Other times we need to be able to speak and live in ways that bring reconciliation. Oh, the dishwasher comment hit home for somebody. I get it. I have so much more to learn, and God has been teaching me, and yet some of my thoughts are still jumbled today. Here is the principle I want us to learn in this section. If we are hanging on to a grudge, me and the fruit cup that cost $8, that's not peace. God's way of reconciliation includes forgiveness. And God helped the early church and the first Anabaptists speak and live in particular ways, otherwise we would not be here right now. Menno Simons wrote in 1544, "Those who are one with Christ in spirit, love, and life, who teach that which was commanded them by Christ, namely repentance and the peaceable gospel of grace, are flesh of Christ's flesh and bone of his bone." God's good news of reconciliation unites us in Christ, who became flesh. Harold Bender in the 1940s and Palmer Becker in 2017 both center the work of Christian Anabaptists to be reconciliation. They say that is the central key of our work as Anabaptists. Now, there's been a lot of debate about this over the years, primarily because when you narrow down the essence of a denomination to just a few things, you're obviously leaving out a lot of things that matter. And sometimes, as Steve Dinneman noted in his article many years ago, it is Jesus and the Spirit of God that get overlooked. Reconciliation is a skill that we have been learning at Zion, and it takes time. And so I invite David Rohr and Zach Halteman forward to help act this out. You want to share the mic? Scene number one is what we fear will happen if we seek reconciliation.
I want to reconcile with you.
No.
And scene. Why do I continue to let fear stop us from what God has called and equipped us to do? Well, often because the person that we care about, we worry that the relationship is going to get worse instead of better. And the principle is that actually our fear makes the reconciliation less possible. Fear inhibits reconciliation. Is fear a fruit of the Spirit? No. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Which means we are letting the devil lead us instead of Jesus if we're following fear. Okay, to set up scene number two, let's read verse 16 together. If you'll go ahead and advance the slide for me. Let's read this together. We are careful not to judge people by what they seem to be. Let's soak that in and read it again. We are careful not to judge people by what they seem to be. Oh, look, this passage that says God calls us to reconcile actually teaches us how to reconcile. David and Zach, show us what it looks like when we judge by appearances.
Hey, Zach, I'd really like to reconcile with you, but it sounds like you don't care.
Well, I'd like to reconcile with you, but I already know you don't want to.
And scene. There is a leap that happens when we judge by appearances. Okay, let's try one more scene. To set this up, let's read together verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten, and everything is new. Once more to let it resonate. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten, and everything is new. David and Zach, show us the opposite of this verse.
I'd really like to reconcile with Zach, but he never listens to me.
I'd really like to reconcile with David, but he always brings up the past.
And scene. Big round of applause for our volunteer. These are overarching tools that we've been thinking about, seeking to get our hearts and our minds right so we can do the work of reconciliation well, realizing, oh, I'm not seeing this person the way God sees them. Letting go of judgment. And I know that these skits are simplistic, and yet one of the keys I've learned through the reconciliations that I've been a part of is that sometimes we think the reconciliation work is harder than it is, which makes the work of reconciliation even harder than it is. Of all the tools I studied this week, of all the ideas from scripture to Google to Anabaptism, I made a little handout of resources for reconciliation. I've got a couple copies. I'll place these at the back. You're welcome to them. You can take a picture of it if you'd like. If you're online, just contact me. I'm happy to share that with you. And I'll also have fruit at the back if anybody wants to eat of this analogy and get it into our flesh. Of all the resources and tools, there is one tool that I believe matters more than any other. At the Congregational Ministries team meeting this past week, for the Congregational Leadership Team and the Commission Chairs, Dave King said, "What helps us to be healthy as a congregation?" And everyone shared great answers that I affirm, a few of which include, one, a community that values one another more than our theological differences. Two, transparent communication. Three, committed lay leadership. And four, outreach that further unites us. There is something I would add to this list that gives us health and is a vital tool for reconciliation. The gospel of Jesus. What would happen if we carried the gospel around with us in our toolbox? The gospel of reconciliation is how Jesus responds to injustice. Not by being the cantaloupe and being overbearing, not by keeping quiet and bottling up his anger, not by judging us by our sins. Psalm 103, God does not treat us as our sins deserve, and not by reciting over and over who we used to be. Instead, Jesus gives us good news to share by becoming flesh. Anger did not lead the way, love did. Not demanding his own way, but with humility and grace, inviting us to join into what God is doing even now in the world. So as we ponder how best to respond to the injustices of our day, as we actively respond to the horrific injustices now, with protests, peaceful demonstrations, Mennonite action, Valley Interfaith action, living sacrificially and generously in so many ways as a congregation, loving our neighbors. One of the Anabaptist characteristics that I see and I celebrate is that at our best, we are seeking reconciliation that looks like Jesus. So last week, in conclusion, last week our challenge had two parts. One, decide on a relationship that we need to reconcile. And two, decide one next step we need to take with God. This week, our challenge for all who are able is to live the gospel that is already in the toolbox we carry, that is us, and apply it to those two situations and our current context. For example, What hope does the good news have for your relationship that needs reconciliation? Second, what is the good news for your next step with God? Third, what does the gospel of Jesus, in all its diversity, what does that say about what reconciliation looks like now, if it is to reflect Jesus at its best? My prayer is that the good news of Jesus becomes real to us today by God's power and grace. As the poet Maya Angelou says, history, despite its wrenching pain, cannot be unlived, but if faced with courage, need not be lived again. We have been entrusted with reconciliation, to live it out in our flesh, words and deeds, because of Jesus who is in us. May God keep equipping us now into reconciliation that looks like Jesus who became flesh. Amen.